This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. And I love starting off my day with promises of God. You know, and a song kind of comes to mind. Music has always been a part of my life, but it's a really oldie. But I love the hymns of the old, and it's, "There is a balm in Gilead to make the wounded whole. There is a balm in Gilead to heal the sin-sick soul. Sometimes I feel discouraged and think my work's in vain, but then the Holy Spirit revives my soul again." I love this part. It's the chorus. "If you cannot sing like angels, if you can't preach like Paul, you can tell the love of Jesus and say he died for all." And I share this with you this morning, as many times I admit we grow weary of sharing the good news to an ever-broadening audience that has ears and hearts that aren't ready or willing to receive, or to continue fighting the good fight or running the race well, enduring until our Lord and Savior returns. Folks, do not grow weary. Well, back in November, Dr. John Swanson of Endurance Ministries joined us to help traverse a very challenging topic, the eschatological end times, or last days, data in God's Word. And we called that program, Thus Says the Lord, Part 1. Today is Thus Says the Lord, Part 2. And John, I'm going to take a little different approach. I'm going to put this on you, so it's not our usual routine. And I'm going to ask if you would like to bring the introduction for this broadcast today. Would you be willing to do so?
Given the title of this session, can I do so in a Thus Says the Lord manner?
Oh, I think that's very, very, very appropriate.
Or let me put it this way for those who might be a little put off by this more direct approach. Leslie, can I do so as an ambassador of Christ, one who, by his mercy and grace, faithfully presents the word for crucial application purposes today? Can I?
You know, that's especially appropriate, given the title for today's program, Thus Says the Lord, Part 2.
Okay. Well, in Matthew 24, verses 4 through 31, our Lord discloses end-time chronology. In the verses which follow, he brings parabolic clarification as to, in part, especially how we, his people, are to be living during the days prior to his glorious appearing. So, we plead with you, dear listeners, ponder these divine, thus says the Lord, words, his counsel, because his words are filled with insight as to how to navigate through the looming end-time storms which will be unfolding this next decade. We wish to highlight one of his words of counsel in today's broadcast, and it's found in Micah 6:8. By the way, if you'd like clarity as to our approach today, we would strongly encourage you to go to currentmatters.org and open the Micah 6:8 handout that's posted in blog B4216. So if you have immediate access to the web, and if you're currently not listening to this broadcast while driving, you know.
Amen. Oh, amen. Please. No.
Yeah, we would ask that you help us help you by going to currentmatters.org and clicking the link at the top of the page titled A Weekly Blog. Once you get to that page, simply scroll down to the blog B42, and you'll find some important information there, one of which is a handout, a document titled, quote, "A Practical Guide to End-Time Living," unquote. And if you do this, you will better discern where we're especially coming from in this broadcast. So here's the application verse we're using so as to foster further action steps as we press on in seeking to be faithful heralds in these days prior to his initial appearing. Micah 6:8 says, "He has shown us what is good and what the Lord requires of us, and it's to do this, to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God."
And I love Micah 6:8. And after all the Lord's done, John, he yet continues to remind us of his ways. You know, stiff-necked people, I hate to think about that, you know, of all he has done for us, and tells us once again what is required of us as followers of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. I looked this up in the NIV translation, and it said it this way, which I kind of have to, I don't know why it tickles me the way it's worded, but mm-hmm. It says, "He has shown you, O mortal," You know, "O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, O mortal," to act justly, to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. So, John, how about if we take these three key areas we're called to and talk about them a bit today in the message of, you know, the Thus Says the Lord for those days that we're living in. And I love to bring not only the message of Jesus Christ to people, but make it applicable to their lives. Okay. So let's kind of tickle some ears and hearts today, okay?
Okay. And better, let's just shout a wake-up call to the many who are sleeping today, if I can.
Awake! Awake! Okay. Alarm!
Yeah, let's wake. Let's do it this way. The three marching orders of our Lord in this Micah 6:8 passage are, number one, to do justly, number two, to love mercy, and number three, to walk humbly with our God. So what we're seeking to do in this brief broadcast is this, to honor our Creator God by encouraging His people in Jesus Christ to be those who express biblical faith by living it.
So okay. did you know that there was a current issue of Focus on the Family's newsletter? It had an article on this very issue of defining faith in a more biblical way.
Okay, and what's the edition and the article title? Do you recall?
You mean I know something you don't know? This is a rarity. Let's see, it's the October-November 2016 edition, and the article was titled, What is Faith?
Oh, cool.
Cool, yeah.
Well, many are calling for a biblical faith, one that's actually in radical contrast to a false hope, faith without action faith, which our Lord will indeed label false faith during the days of accounting. For example, Max Lucado writes in his devotional book titled Grace for the Moment, he writes this, the read for October 21 is titled, Do Something. Faith that does nothing is dead, James 2:26. Faith is not the belief that God will do what you want. Faith is the belief that God will do what is right. God is always near and always available, just waiting for your touch. So let Him know. Demonstrate your devotion. Write a letter. Ask forgiveness. Be baptized. Feed a hungry person. Pray. Teach, go, do something that demonstrates faith. For faith which has no effort is no faith at all. God will respond. He has never rejected a genuine gesture of faith, never. He still moves stones.
Boy, I wished I'd had that at the beginning of this past summer, because my faith really has been called into play, and I would love to have had that. But thank you for sharing that.
The Lord uses many people to help us in our walk with Him day by day.
Yes, He does.
Well, okay, let's proceed in this manner. And folks, we hope that by now you've had sufficient time to maybe print out or at least go to the handout we're using as an outline for today's broadcast. Again, it's at currentmatters.org on the weekly blog page. It's blog B4216. The handout we're using today is titled, quote, A Practical Guide to End Time Living, unquote. Okay, Leslie, so let's expound on each of these three commands of our Lord.
Okay, so let's take this passage of Micah and start with on doing rightly. And okay. Now I'm not talking about gaining God's forgiveness of sin by doing works. Mm-hmm. You know, that's not it.
Right.
Instead, we're talking about doing rightly as applied to living our lives in anticipation of our Lord's return.
Sweet.
And I want to be a part of that final phase, you know, of the Great Commission by sharing Christ with others. You know, Matthew 28, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And I love this, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And even more than that, John, I know that God's word also says that this message will be preached to all the world before Jesus returns. And as much as I love this place we call home, our temporal home, I also belong and long for heaven.
Oh, yep. It's fascinating to me that the global sharing of the gospel in Jesus Christ will take place before our Lord's return, as He outlines in Matthew 24:14. And it's equally fascinating to me that the gospel is being proclaimed widely today as we speak.
Amen. Wowzer. So, John, what's your passion for doing rightly? What do you feel is of dire importance to all of us in this doing rightly area for these days we're in?
Oh, Leslie, there's so many options. Well, instead of highlighting only one on the handout that we're using, Do you mind if we summarize some of the various ways we can be about doing rightly? Is that?
Absolutely.
Okay, so I'll do it in brief bullet point. Number one, let's think on his eternally significant things as opposed to wrongly esteeming the temporal, earthly things that are passing away. Number two, let's commit to making proper preparations as outlined in the Word of God. We are called to be ready and watching. Number three, we need to separate from the worldly darkness which is so abundant today. Number four, let's each contribute to our enduring faith by living out biblical faith.
Oh, I love that. Oh, I just love it. Okay, but what are some examples of those in the Word, because we're taking you back to the Bible, who did or didn't do rightly? And, you know, we certainly can learn from their actions or mistakes, right?
Yes, amen.
Okay, so nothing could be, to me, more blatant than Genesis 4, where God, you know, first warns Cain to not be jealous or angry because God had favor on his brother, even to the point of saying, if you do what is right, will you not be accepted? Hello. Mm-hmm. But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it. Yet Cain chose to not do what was right and kill his brother.
Great example, Leslie. And thankfully, our Lord has given positive examples too. Noah, for example, lived rightly before God and missed the flood judgment. Zacharias and Elizabeth walked with God and were graced with the special privilege of their son, the forerunner of Christ our Lord. Simeon, a righteous man, was blessed to see the infant Messiah before he died, as was promised to him by the Holy Spirit of God. Sweet examples, Leslie.
Well, and I love that last one because I think about that elderly man, you know, I got to see. Oh, my goodness. But what about the second part of this passage, you know, the to love mercy?
Yes, he has shown us what is right to love mercy is the second one. I confess that I need help in loving mercy, Leslie. One thing I do in order to try to do my part in growing this quality in my life is to ponder God's many expressions of enduring mercies toward us. This is in part fostered by contemplation on the Psalms. As I meditate on God's expressions of mercy, which I so desperately need.
Don't we all?
Yeah. Well, I'm prompted to do the same toward others.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So that expression of God's mercy toward me and then obeying this call to love mercy to express that to others.
You know, I don't know what I'd do without mercy in my life. You know, that compassionate forgiveness by our Lord when certainly I don't deserve it. And when I think of this unmerited mercy, John, I get a lump in my throat. Mm-hmm. And there's a verse in Jude that expresses this mercy so well, it compels me to live it out. Can I share that?
Please.
It says, "But you, dear friends, by building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life." And here it is, John. This is the part. Mm-hmm. "Be merciful to those who doubt. Save others by snatching them from the fire. To others show mercy, mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh." I want this for me. Mm. You know, I want someone to care that much for me that they would do this. They'd snatch me right out of the fire. Mm. So that's what drives me to speak. It's scary to do so at times, but I care that much, John.
Yeah, and you care to express that to others. And I know that you'd be the first to bring testimonial that it's Christ Jesus in you who brings on this loving care for others.
Oh, yeah. Amen, John.
Well, in that context, praise to his dear name.
Jesus, yeah. I love it.
God is good.
God is good. We come to the last point in this message, one that I think is probably hard for all of us. It's to walk humbly with our God. So, you know, we live in such a self-centered, you know, me, myself, and I world. And I know that I have dealt with pride issues my whole life at times, and luckily the Holy Spirit calls me up on it, and I can repent back to that loving mercy that I so desperately need. But yeah. I think you get what I mean. This one is crucial to today's Thus Says the Lord message for us.
Amen.
When I think of this, I'm called up short by the Spirit. You know, Ephesians 6 rings through my brain about putting on the armor of God to keep us strong against the enemy. You know, an out-and-out direction of how to prepare daily to meet the needs of God's people around us. Notice it's not about me, it's about God's people, and keep us secure in his covering. And Luke 9, being told that you must deny yourself if you wish to save your life and to be a disciple of Christ Jesus, picking up that cross daily.
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 Oh, yeah, I so concur, Leslie. This perspective is crucial today in that it really is going to take God-given humility on our part to be willing to let go of our lives for the sake of saving our lives in the context of our eternal state.
Well, and I'm so sorry for sharing so much about me personally today, but my mouth is just going because it affects me that way. But can you give us some examples for this one to help cement this into our listening audience's hearts?
Sure. One lacking expression of humility before God today comes to mind, and it's tied to end time concerns. It's the fear of the Lord, Leslie.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, perfect love casts out fear, but the word also speaks to a different type of fear, a fear of God that's strongly called for, even in the context of new covenant walk with God. So I'd recommend this, thus says the Lord counsel, for each and every one of us. Let's do a Bible study on the topic of the fear of the Lord. It might just rock our personal world. Humility is crucial, Leslie. Crucial.
Yes, it is. Okay, so let me speak to the contrary examples of humility. That is, you know, let me touch upon examples of pride we have. Mm-hmm. So Lucifer was cast out of heaven.
Okay.
Haman in the story of Esther, you know, killed by his own decree, you know. And I will not say this right. Nebuchadnezzar. If I say it fast enough, I can say it. In Daniel.
You know, say it three times.
No! In chapter 4, you know, was cut down like a tree. Left to live like wild animals. Losing his sanity. And Herod. Oh, you know, lovely King Herod. Acts, you know, 12:20. Struck down. And when I read this, and eaten to death by worms. You know, lovely pictures to say the least, certainly not heroes of the faith or someone I'd like to follow. So it's your turn to give the positives.
Yes, these are examples not to follow, but there are positive examples in Scripture as well. So examples of humility include Moses. While he was a leader of his people, he was a humble man, Scripture teaches. Mary, the mother of our Lord, humbly received her assignment. Another one, John the Baptist, modeled humility in numerous ways. And I would add yet another example, and it's Jesus Christ our Lord. Actually, Leslie, the Lord Jesus is the perfect example for every one of these three qualities we're touching upon today.
You are very right,
yeah,
you know.
He shines.
You know, these last two programs that we've done, the first was, you know, aired on November 10th and 12th, the Thus Says the Lord Part 1. And today's program, I know, have been very thought-provoking for our audience. Would you bring this to a close and speak your heart, you know, to our audience of the passion that the Lord has laid on your heart for us, his children, in these times?
Okay. And let me do, let me answer it in two ways. I want to thank the Lord for you, Leslie, because the message that we brought in our Christian worldview class was to live out and honor and to herald God's word. I've noticed over the years in radio broadcasts with you that you continue to add scripture, make that application that the word of God speaks to that we highlighted in that class. So thank you for your example, even your example to me as to how you weave God's word into your programs, because that's what matters. So,
but you just taught me that.
I want to say, well, the Lord's word taught us that. Amen.
Yeah, amen.
Amen. Well, secondly, Leslie, let me do so as far as the second response, one that I'm honored to do, to bring. Dear listening audience, let's fear God in part by accepting his eternal life through his son, Jesus Christ, if we haven't yet already done so, and family in Christ. Let's keep his commandments. Let me put it in this way for a more thus says the Lord manner. Here is the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is mankind's all. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. And may we accomplish, under the Holy Spirit's leading in our lives, these Ecclesiastes 12 actions. In part in this way. He has shown us, O church, what is good and what the Lord requires of us, to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our Creator God.
Oh, I love that. You know, and folks, that reference is Ecclesiastes 12, and I think it was verses, what?
13 and 14.
13 and 14. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yes.
Well, and thank you for your compliment. And I do mean that I had the privilege of sitting under some incredible teachers when I was at Bible college, you being one of them. And I'm glad that our friendship has carried through the years and how the word was taught to us.
Praise God.
You know, we used one of your pages from your website blog on end times. So, John, would you direct our listening audience as to how they can get and use those resources again?
Okay. For friends who, again, seek truth and divine counsel that's most helpful, especially during these valleys of the end of days, please go to His Word for insight second to none. Eternity matters.
Yes, it does.
Amen. And in these days of the end, we'll actually be confronted with false teachings that might have an effect upon our eternal state, given what the Scriptures say. So I would encourage us in this application to go to some of our websites, which are founded on God's Word. Those passages that are listed there on some of these sites are most helpful. Again, it's Thus Says the Lord stuff. It's God's Word. So go to currentmatters.org, where our blogs post Bible reading schedules on a quarterly basis, not to mention and develop the posting of other most helpful end time insight. And you'll find that a lot of these passages are actually end time passages. So how the Word of God speaks to our current contemporary affairs. Most God honoring. Well, folks, sincerely concerning these charts and visual aids on this site, currentmatters.org, they are helpful. So take advantage of these quality discipleship tools by visiting this site. And once again, we've posted many of our best handouts in this blog, B Blog 4216. Once again, currentmatters.org. These resources are given in part to encourage endurance. Let's keep keeping on.
Yes. And I wish to remind everybody listening to not grow weary in doing what is good, and to live justly, love mercy, and walk humbly before our God. It will make all the difference in this world, not only to you personally, but to someone the Lord lays in your hands to speak the truth that matters to. Be willing to lay yourself on the altar as a living sacrifice that someone else might be saved. Jesus did that for us, and I can't think of a better example to follow, John. So I want to do a little closing prayer here, if you don't mind. So, Heavenly Father, thank you for loving me first and never giving up on me. Thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for my sins that I might be forgiven and who rose again in victory over death that I might live. I come before you with hands extended, seeking your gift of mercy and grace on my life. Change my heart and make it ever yours in the name of your precious Son, Jesus. Amen.
I agree. Amen.
Once again, John, our time has come to a close, and thank you once again for bringing us the truth that matters, for caring so much for God's children that you have committed your life to helping us all see and understand God's Word, the Holy Bible, the truth that matters. And it's because of our listening audience that we're able to be on the air bringing the good news of Jesus Christ and special guests like yourself, John. And I want to thank all those who do support us. So thank you, folks who support us monthly. It keeps us on the air and allows us the privilege of bringing God's Word to you. So we hope you go away refreshed, restored, and renewed in who you are in Christ Jesus, the love of God the Father, and the power of the Holy Spirit, and that you will make God's Word the very breath that you take this week. As always, in His service, this is Reverend Leslie Nelson and my guest, Brother in Christ Jesus, Dr. John Swanson of Endurance Ministries.